proposal of the year lecture program came about 15 years ago. The reason for that was to identify what had been done during the course of that year, as well as the prospectus things of the future. And the idea was to bring some particularly young person or one who came from a long distance to successfully begin preaching and teaching the gospel of Christ to the attention of the local congregation. And the brethren have been enjoying that for the years on the Sunday night, and enjoyed the idea of these men coming before them, young men as they may be sometimes, coming before them to lead singing, read scriptures, speak a sermon, whatever the circumstance may be that they have developed in, knowing that they first heard them maybe along the way a year or two ago, and that they were poorly doing what they were doing, and their improvement now would be nothing but encouraged, and it was a good thing to do. There are various kinds of conversations that are carried on by individuals. Let me talk about certain kind of mixes of people tonight. And that is, you have some people that are angry in their disposition. As a result of being angry and mad and bad-spirited, they find everything to be spoken to them that's somewhat different, and the gospel will be somewhat different than what they were before. To be angrily reacted to, they will find themselves mad at the idea of being taught this, something that is completely different than what they've heard before. They'll just be angry at that thing. The Bible talks about anger and how anger is such a tragic thing and how it'll misguide individuals. And when Paul, they wrote to the brethren at Ephesus about that in Ephesians 4, he said, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath." There's a way to handle anger that it doesn't control you, it demeans you. And there's a way in which you can be angry and yet grow into an assistance of help to others. And that's what Paul said that we should do. Other people find themselves in a way of despair. When taught the truth, they simply lay down on it. They simply are surprised. They've not learned the truth up to this point on their own. And they find the truth being taught to them rather than embrace it. They find themselves just simply disappointed in the fact that they've now learned this. They are depressed and they're sad about it. They're not responsive to it at all. And again, the Bible talks in regard to that kind of an attitude. The attitude of one stopping and not failing to serve the Lord is certainly by our Lord mentioned in this regard of his servants in Luke 9 and verse 62. Whoso puts his hand to the plow and looketh back is not fit for the kingdom of God. What did our Lord mean by that observation? He meant that simply the work at hand has got to be, you've got to pay attention to the work at hand. You simply got to follow the intention of going ahead. And the idea of looking back is to find yourself interested in something else, looking to something else. You're not to drive a straight furrow. You'll not have a way to do good. It'll look terrible and you'll be horror struck by it. The idea is to pay attention to the thing you're doing. Put your hand to the plow. Don't look back and be unfit for the kingdom of God. The idea of people falling back is certainly a part of our world in which we live. We need to teach them the truth about it. Of course, people that find themselves looking objectively at something is another several class of folks. They're a small percentage of individuals, but they will appreciate it if they hear it on radio, if they see the program on television, if they read a gospel tract or a booklet that's handed to them. They will see something in that. They're objective people. And they will see something that, no matter if they got that tract at a washateria or at a waiting room in a hospital or a convalescent home, wherever they got that information, be it a tract or be it on radio when they were going somewhere or a television program that was being put in front of them, they really appreciate the fact that now they see something that is true. It is accurate. It is what they want to have. And the Bible talks about that in a great deal. Back in the book of Proverbs, for example, it talks about buy the truth and sell it not. Buy also wisdom and understanding. He talks about that kind of person who really wants that. I want to be told the truth. I want to tell what's true to others. I want to embrace that way of life. That smaller percentage will be people who readily do that kind of performance. And as a result of that, they'll find themselves doing the Lord's will, telling others about it, and they'll be somewhat surprised that there's a whole group of folks that become mad because they're told the truth, or become depressed because they're told the truth. These are not objective individuals. They have something to go through. They have some things to overcome to ever get to the truth. But you can help them to overcome that because you have objectively looked at what is true, what is accurate. When we find ourselves doing God's will, then, number one, we find ourselves loving that which is right and good and helpful. We find ourselves pursuing that way of life that will be helpful to others. And we'll find ourselves doing this in the presence of individuals who do not know the truth, but find themselves with all kinds of backgrounds. And you will find yourself working through those particular matters in order to identify truth toward them. Secondly, we'll be people who follow the way of the Lord. We will go to those individuals. We will seek them out. We will not wait for them to come our way. We will put that track out there. We will put that booklet out there. We will support that radio program. We will put that television program in front of them because we know that there's a percentage of people out there who are readily to accept it and readily to see it. You've seen that happen. You've heard of that happening. And various missionaries have come our way to tell us about events that are taking place. Sad to say that there are some times when a country becomes very affluent and has a good bit to do with itself, monetary-wise. They become less and less objective about what they hear. More and more do they find themselves rejecting that which is true in front of them. Sad to say that's the case here in America. As people became more and more affluent, more and more able to do, less and less religiously inclined to be. Again, unhappiness comes, and when unhappiness takes place, the person finds himself in an unhappy way. Then when someone steps up with a positive demeanor, a thoughtful spirit, a way of telling truth and good, a way of helping somebody to recognize and understand, a way of somebody to reach out and to help them at a time of need, where a house is burned up, or a flood is taking place, or some terrible thing has resulted in interfering in their lifestyle. And here's a person who takes a little time, who pays attention, who has a few of the brethren far and wide to help them out with that situation, and makes a difference in that person's life. As a result of that, those individuals may change completely where they have been, what they thought about. And they begin to lead them on toward true teaching and the accuracy of the Lord. Many people have been converted to Christ as a result of that kind of help and aid that is offered to them. So you and I can utilize that way and make a difference in the ways of individuals. When we help to train these gospel preachers and teachers and personal workers, we find ourselves using all types of methodologies. And we do what the Apostle Paul said he did in 1 Corinthians 9, 21 and 22. He said he became all things to all men to all means. He might say so. He made every effort as a servant of God to not put people in a cookie cutter mode. You have to be it this way. You have to study it this way. You have to tell me this and I will cookie cut you out. You'll be fixed you because we fix you just like all the others that I worked with before. We'll fix you to be the convert that we want. Paul said, I became all things to all men that by all means I might save some. The idea was I adjusted as people had needs. I adjusted as the circumstances were there. I did not compromise the word truth. But I did, nevertheless, adjust it to the needs that were there in front of me. As a result of that, people were saved from sin. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have that kind of thing to result? And all of our young people here are going to be a great, great influence to others around us. As I said last Sunday morning, you're going to have little boys and little girls to come our way. No two ways about it. They're going to be here and be a part of these activities and grow in the ways of the Lord from day to day. It's going to be that way for sure in our future. So we're looking forward to only good spiritually coming about because of their efforts. The song tonight, if someone is subject to the Lord's invitation, remember that good plan of salvation. As you look in the book of Acts of the Apostles, you'll see that they repeat it again and again. People needed to believe in the Lord. In Acts 2, they're told that to repent and be baptized. In Acts 8, this man is told, if you believe, you may confess and be baptized. In Acts chapter 22, Saul of Tarsus was taught, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. What a blessing he had as he could be saved from his sin. And Paul would refer back to that at least three times, two particular times in major emphasis passages. He referred back to Romans 6 to the time that he was baptized in Christ, just like the brethren in Rome were. And in Galatians 3, how we were clothed with Christ. We put Christ on when we in faith were baptized into him. We put him on. And he can do that tonight and be that new person. Let's stand together. Say the word, I'll be perfect.